Reading from Canto 6, Chapter 12, entitled Vritasura's Glorious Death, Text 12. Avidvan evam atmanam manyate nisham ishwaram bhutai sijati bhutani gasate tani tai swayam avidvam eva atmanam manyate nishamishwaram bhutai sijati bhutani gasate tanitai swayam avidvam eva atmanam manyate nishamishwaram bhutai sijati bhutani bhutani Vasate Tanitai Swayam. Is foolish without knowledge. Evam, thus, atmanam, himself, manyate, considers, anisham, although totally dependent on others, ishwaram, as the supreme controller, independent. Bhutai, by the living entities. Sri Jati, he, the Lord, creates. Bhutani, other living entities. Gasate, he devours. Tani, them. Tai, by others, living beings. Swayam, himself. Translation: a foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So basically an animal. A foolish, senseless person. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, and that's what the person, senseless person is thinking, according to one's previous fruitive activities, actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger. This is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Responsibly, a foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks, according to one's previous fruitive actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger. This is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of Godhead himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Now, according to the conclusion of the philosophy known as Karma Mimamsa, one's karma or previous fruitive activities is the cause of everything, and therefore there's no need to work. Those who arrive at this conclusion are foolish. When a father creates a child, he does not do so independently. He is induced to do so by the Supreme Lord. As the Lord Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, 15th verse, Sarvasya chaham ridi sanavishtu mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha. I'm in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So unless one receives dictation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who sits within everyone's heart, one cannot be induced to create anything. Therefore, the father and mother are not the creator of the living entity. According to the living entity's karma, fruitive activities, he is put into the semen of the father, who injects the living entity into the womb of the mother. Then, according to the body of the mother and the father, yadha yoni yadha bijam, the living entity accepts a body and takes birth to suffer or enjoy. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the original cause of one's birth. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is the cause of one's being killed. No one is independent. Everyone is dependent. The true conclusion is that the only independent person is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A foolish, senseless person cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Always dependent, he falsely thinks himself the Supreme. If one thinks according to one's previous actions, one's material body is created by the father and mother, and the same body is annihilated by another agent, as another animal is devoured by a tiger, this is not proper understanding. The Supreme Personality of God in Himself creates and devours the living beings through other living beings. Avidyam eva atmanam manyate nishameshwaram bhutai shijati bhutani gasate tani tai swayam om agyanate mandasya gyananjala shalakaya chakshu unmitam jena tasmai shiguravi namaha shi chetanya manubhishtam shtapitam jena bhutale swayam bhupa kadamayam datati swapanantikam shi krishna chetanya prabhu nityananda shi advaita gadada shivasari gau bhaktavinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram 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 hare hare vanchaka patubhyacha Kripa Sinyu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Pachatiteshtaine. There's a memory, Govinda Dasi, in the memory tape, she tells one memory, one conversation she had with Prabhupada in Hawaii. They were speaking about the evolutionist theory, Darwin philosophy. On the side, Prabhupada explains, as an insight, I'm just giving you, and also Sasrup Maharaj explains in his book, in Vedic reading in Vedic literatures. But Prabhupada says that Hindology is a science of Hinduism. We know Hinduism doesn't exist, but the study of the culture from India was created by the Britishes. And the Britishes, they created that Hindology so they could destroy the philosophy of the Vedas. India was too big. They couldn't conquer physically India. Although they controlled India for 300 years, they couldn't just put them down and make what they wanted with the Indians. So they created that philosophy, that science of Indology, so they could study the Vedic culture and put it down. And even though they didn't understand Vedic culture, they put everything down. And at the same time, it's explained that the Darwin philosophy or the evolutionist theory was created to destroy the philosophy of karma and reincarnation also. So that was the plan. But the plan backfired because Bhagavad Gita went to the West, and people like Goethe, David Thoreau, Einstein, all these people, they read Bhagavad Gita and they thought it was a very, very nice book. And then that's how a lot of the Vedic culture came to the West. So Prabhupada was discussing about this evolutionist theory, about Darwin philosophy. And she was saying that they say that the living entity evolves through instinct. It creates it from water, it comes on land, and then from the monkey it becomes a man. So it evolves by instinct. And Prabhupada said there's no instinct. Obviously, Prabhupada speaks about instinct. He said there's two kinds of instincts. There's the material instinct, which is the instinct to enjoy. No one has to teach you how to eat, how to have sex and all this. This is natural. And then there's also the spiritual instinct, which is to serve the Lord. But Prabhupada says that ultimately there's only Paramatma and previous life. Like when people say good luck, there's no good luck. There's only Paramatma in the heart. Everything is sanctioned by the Lord. So you say good luck, there's no luck. There's Krishna in the heart that makes things happen based on our desires, based on past karma, but everything is sanctioned. So Prabhupada said this evolutionist theory is wrong because there's no inside instinct that tells them do like this, do like that. There is, but it's not the instinct. It's Paramatma in the heart and previous life. On a side note, Prabhupada said that my grandfather was not a monkey. Huh? He said like that. So he was speaking about this point, how ultimately everything is controlled, is sanctioned by the Lord. Now in one class, Prabhupada said everything good and bad. And he goes on for many minutes explaining how good and bad is sanctioned by the Lord. Like when Hiranyakashipu was controlling the universe, he killed Brahmins, he destroyed Veda, he was trying to destroy Vedic culture, he killed babies, you know. He was trying, I mean Kamsa also, the babies, when he was trying to get Krishna. So many horrible things. But that also is sanctioned by the Lord. All these horrible things that the Germans did to the Jewish people, or the Turks to the Armenians, or you see in Africa, there were so many desires to eradicate so many populations. That also is sanctioned by the Lord. It's not that the bad things are not sanctioned and the good things are sanctioned. Because what is good for one is bad for the other. What is bad for one is good for the other. So it all depends on someone's desire within his heart, and then Krishna will sanction. And that is our independence, that we can choose Krishna or we can choose not Krishna. That's the only independence that we have. If someone puts a gun to your head and tells you, love Krishna, then that wouldn't be love. There would be no meaning to living entity if there was force. So Krishna allows, and because he allows us to play different roles. And within these roles, there's glassy scenes, there's horrendous actions. But unless Krishna allows it, then it wouldn't happen. And that is difficult to understand for materialists. And even for us sometimes when things... Because the equilibrium of a materialist is external. I have my house, I have my bank account, I have my wife, my family, I have my car. When the car has an accident, oh, the balance starts moving. But that's not so bad. Then I lose my house. Ooh. His equilibrium is like when you stand on one leg, you open your eyes, you try to keep your balance. So the materialist balance is external. Then he loses his wife. Then his family dies in a crash. Oh, this is finished. His life is totally finished. But the devotee, his balance is internal. The whole world can explode. He'll always be balanced. Because his internal equilibrium is internal. It's always Krishna. Whatever happens outside, that doesn't disturb him. Because he always worked based on Krishna's sanction. So for the materialist, it's difficult to understand that principle. In 1984, I remember, there's one man, he approached, there was a class in Toronto, Gopal Krishna Maharaj was giving the class, and this man said that my son died. He was 1 year old or 1.5. He said he didn't even have the time to sin. Because he can't understand, he's just seeing the body now. How can there be any God? Like the German woman, they were praying that we want our husbands to come back from the war. The man did not come back. The mothers, the wife, they were praying, no one came back. So then they became atheists, Prabhupada says. I don't know if you remember, for people who are older, there was a book that came out in the 80s. It was from a rabbi. Why do bad things happen to good people? Do you know that book? You ever heard about that book? He was a rabbi. So he had this doubt. How can bad things, if there was a God, how bad things can happen to good people? He was actually excommunicated from the Jewish church for writing that book. Because he was explaining, how can there be a God if bad things happen? It's not possible. Because there's no understanding of karma, there's no understanding of reincarnation, there's no understanding that actually Krishna controls everything. So he wrote that book, and most people think like this. How is it? One, Prabhupada was on a train, and then the train driver asked him, what is evil? He said, evil is Krishna's back. You turn your back to Krishna, it becomes evil. So here, the living entity, he doesn't understand. He's thinking that he's creating prakriti-kyamana-ni-guna-kama-sni-sava-sha-hankar-vimudatma, that he's thinking, because of a hankar, that I'm the one doing it. So then Prabhupada speaks about kama-mimamsa. Where else in the Bhagavatam we speak about kama-mimamsa? You remember? The Krishna book? No? Govardhan? Story. Prabhupada was preaching. Krishna was preaching kama-mimamsa. He was telling them, why you want to worship Indra? You're working so hard. The rain is only coming because of past fruitive activities. Why you have to worship Indra? Indra's giving water. He's giving water on ocean too. The ocean's not doing worshiping him. So why you want to worship Indra? He was trying to deter them from worshiping Indra. So he started the kama-mimamsa philosophy, which is basically atheists are thinking that everything's happening for my own power. And what is that in America? The American dream. That's the American dream. That we give you the opportunity, and if you want, you can make it. You can even become the President of the United States. It's true. Every young children in America understand that America is offering me possibility. Why do you think all these Indian people and all these people want to go to America? Because they believe this American dream. America is providing for me the facility for me to achieve myself, to fulfill myself. And then I can become an engineer, I can become a millionaire. If I work hard, I can do it. But that's not true. It doesn't work like this. Prabhupada explained, you can't make poor people rich. It's not that you want to make, you have a poor man, you make him rich. It's against his karma. It's not going to happen. If Krishna sanctions it, it can happen. Krishna can become rich. Our devotees can become rich, even though it's not in their karma. But ultimately, you cannot change things like this. So, sometimes, some people become rich and they don't work. Some people work all their lives. Like, for example, devotees, they always try to become rich. And it rarely happens. Because Krishna's not sanctioning it. He doesn't want to do it. Even if it's in their karma, he might not even sanction it. Because it's not going to be good for them. He takes it away. So ultimately, I may be poor, I want to become rich. It may happen the next day. In America, you have it here too. You have lotto. So they become millionaires in one day. How is it? And some people, they play all their lives. They work all their lives. They don't make a penny. And they can't even live properly. They can't even eat. Because it has to be sanctioned. I don't know if you know this. There's a pastime in the Bhagavatam. And I don't remember where, but I know it's there. The demigods, it was time for creation. And all the demigods, they took their positions, like, you know, going in the car, starting the car. They all went. Surya went, the Chandra went, they all went in their different positions. And they say, okay, let's go, let's start the universe. Nothing was working. Why? Because the super soul hadn't entered. Because ultimately, without the super soul, nothing's going to happen. Like Sanatana Goswami, he wanted to kill himself. I don't know if you know this story, because he had this disease. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every time he saw him, he was embracing him. And he said, no. And he said, I don't care, you're all like my children. It's like when the child passed you in or stool on the mother or the father, it's no problem. So he was embracing him. So he was thinking that I have to commit suicide. So he was thinking, during Gathi Yatra, I will jump under the cart. But Chaitanya knows everything. He told him that this is my body. You cannot take someone else's property. This is my body and I want to do things with it. And then Sanatana Goswami says that in the same way that a puppeteer, he moves the puppets and the puppets are dancing, they're singing, But they don't know how and who's doing this to them. They don't know. So the living entity also, they're moving, they're dancing, but they don't know how and who's doing this to them. They're covered, they're senseless. They don't have the information, they don't have the knowledge. So that's what they say, a foolish, senseless person, he's thinking, I'm doing the thing. In Prahlad's teaching, Prabhupada explains how a child can have 100 mothers, 100 fathers, still he'll die. Mare Krishna gake ke, gake Krishna mare ke. You can try to save your kid, there can be so many doctors, it's just not working. Because it doesn't have the sanction. Ultimately, even Yamaraj, every time he takes decision, he has direct connection with Krishna. Krishna is telling him what to do with every living entity. Krishna's relationship with every living entity. If they want to be in Maya, because the living entity is thinking that, oh, like Ravana, what did he want to do? He wanted to create a staircase to go to heaven. He wanted to get free from the laws of nature. Like now, they want to go to so many planets by mechanical and so much, you know, power ways. Because we want to become free from the laws of nature. But they don't understand Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Satra Achara, that ultimately material nature is controlled by Krishna. So they're under the control of material nature, like the jail is controlled by the city or the country. So I'm in jail, oh I'm free, I don't have to follow the laws, but who put me in jail? So they're thinking, I want to become independent. But they don't understand the way to become independent is to become dependent. Because the natural proclivity or the natural tendency of the soul is to become dependent on Krishna. That's why that the injunction is you should become dependent, you should surrender. Then when you surrender, Krishna empowers you. That means he tells you what to do at every second. And it is confirmed by the spiritual master. At that time you are actually independent. Even though we are dependent, we become free. Then we can enjoy. Then we can feel what we're actually looking for. But they're thinking, no, let me get free from the laws. But they can't get free from the laws. To get free from the laws of nature, you have to become dependent. But they say, I want to become independent. No, you have to become dependent. And when you become dependent on the law, on the Lord, then all, there's an incredible amount of opportunities that open up to enjoy life. Because Satchitananda, the soul is always happy. Now the soul is always miserable, because in the material we're always suffering. So at the moment that what we do is not based on Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we're following the mind. Immediately we know, this is not according to, I'm thinking, I'm acting independently. No, I'm not going to chant. No, I'm not going to do this. I'm independent. But that's not independence. This is being dependent on the mind. The mind is telling me don't chant. So instead of following Krishna's telling me to chant, I'm following the mind, say don't chant. I'm thinking I'm independent. I'm not independent, I'm depending on the mind. So in any case, we are dependent. But the way to open ourselves to all the opportunities of enjoyment is to become dependent on the Lord. But the materialist doesn't understand this. And for us, sometimes it is difficult to understand that everything that happens to us, because not even a blade of grass moves without Krishna's direction. Not even a blade. He is everywhere, in everything. Like Prabhupada relates about one of his teachers was saying that how can there be reincarnation, because who is there to judge? There's no one who can see what you do. But Prabhupada didn't answer back. Why? Because etiquette. It's his teacher. He followed etiquette. He didn't speak back. But inside he speaks on his books and he says that so many witnesses, Chandra, all the demigods, the planets, they can see everything. The sun can go through the air. Everything can see what you're doing. So everything is controlled by Krishna. Every little aspect of our life. So we can't doubt that what happens to us is always Krishna's arrangement. Good or bad. We can't doubt this, because if we doubt, then we become faithless. And then, so therefore we have to go beyond the lamentation and the hankering. Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Na Sochati Na Kangshati. This is our problem, that the lamentation aspect, oh this is happening to me. I didn't want that. And I'm lamenting. And I'm hankering that it should have been like this. Everything Krishna gives, we have to smile. Thank you. Because this is Krishna's arrangement. And everything we suffer or enjoy are consequences of previous activities. And when one becomes a devotee, Prabhupada says in Isha Upanishad that he chants once Hare Krishna, Krishna takes care of him. So we cannot doubt that Krishna is actually taking care of us. He's helping us to go back to Krishna. Slowly, 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 he's nurturing us. He's seeing how we're going and he's putting different things in our ways so we can actually advance spiritually and come to that point of pure Krishna consciousness. And the more we want to be independent from that, the more there will be suffering. Either he puts us back in the pool of material existence, or either within all that's happening now, he's going to create so much difficulties so we can come to the point. Because devotees, when there's problems, they surrender to Krishna. Isn't it? Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Narada Muni, why are we suffering? We're your devotees. He said, because you're my devotee, you're suffering. Why? Because you show to the world that when a devotee is in struggling, he never forgets Krishna. He always serves Krishna in any circumstances. So he's speaking here about the foolish sense. It's Vritasura. Vritasura is preaching. Because Indra is becoming depressed, despondent. He lost his thunderbolt. Pick it up. And he doesn't want. He lost his pride. Vritasura wants. Krishna wants me to die. His vision is Krishna. Indra is not seeing Krishna's goal. He's just seeing that he wants to kill him and go back. Finish with it. But Vritasura can understand that, no, you kill me now. And that's Krishna's arrangement. So even in our life, we have to practice like this. Because sometimes we also become senseless. Because every moment we have these attacks, ahankar attacks. We're thinking, oh, I'm doing it. Obviously, we are doing things. But we have to understand, ultimately, results and everything Krishna is providing. And if we come to that stage, then peace will be there. There'll be so much. Bhoktaham yagata vasyam savaloka maheshwaram. That when we understand that Krishna is... The problem is we want to be in control. So the moment I understand that I'm not in control, oh, so peaceful. At the moment I understand that I cannot please everyone, oh, I become so happy. Because I accept the fact. But the moment I'm trying to be something I'm not, then so much suffering is there. So if we can come to that point of understanding that ultimately everything that happens to us in every minute, every second of our lives, then we can become more peaceful and it's easier to practice Krishna consciousness. Because, yeah, it's raining. Yes, I had an accident, I broke my leg. You know, my wife just died. Obviously, relationship is there. Attachments are there. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says during the Bhagavad Gita discussion, that Arjuna is saying, I understand everything you're saying, but it's very difficult. It is difficult, Krishna says, but you have to tolerate. So if we can come to that stage, give up all that stuff that we're thinking we're controlling and just try to accept Krishna's mercy on us. Because when we say Bhagavad Yasya Prasad, Bhagavad Prasad, Yasya Prasad means by your mercy, the Guru, I get Bhagavad Prasad, I get Krishna mercy. Then we can feel satisfaction. Thank you. Any question or comment? Yes, Prabhu. I think.
Sometimes this philosophy of whatever happens in our life is totally dependent upon Krishna. So sometimes devotee feel like if something happened bad to our body, then they feel like this philosophy seems to be very lofty. You know, this is good only in the class. Or they are not able to apply them that philosophy in their life. So what we should tell the devotee at that time?
But there's two things, because one time Prabhupada, I think some disciples told Prabhupada it's Krishna's arrangement. He said, no, it's your foolishness. Because ultimately, you know the story of the Buddhist priest, he's walking on the road, someone's telling him, oh, the elephant's coming. No, don't worry. Krishna's protecting me. He's walking, an elephant is coming, don't worry. Three times they're saying, and then the fourth time the elephant kills him. Because Krishna was speaking through these people. So it's true, Krishna arranges everything, but we also have to be Krishna conscious and see, you know, act properly. But ultimately we have to understand that your question is how, that when bad things happen it's Krishna's arrangement? But ultimately everyone is a karma, right?
Devotee who is suffering, that actually everything is happening by the arrangement of Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, everything will go good. But suffering devotee tells that this philosophy looks very lofty actually.
Yeah, but it's very difficult, especially when you're suffering, to accept that.
Yeah.
So when we preach, it's better to be compassionate also. Like when there was this 9/11, sometimes devotees this destruction in America, the planes, they destroyed the towers, some people were happy. It's like, for example, on the Gathi Yatrakhan, in L.A., one lady, she got killed by the Gathi Yatrakhan. Somebody said, Jai, she died on the Gathi Yatrakhan. So it went in the newspapers. The devotees were very happy. So we have to become, obviously we know the philosophy, but can we apply it to ourselves also? So we can't be artificial. So we have to be compassionate that this person lost a child, this person lost a leg. It is very painful, it's very suffering. So that's when the relationships come to try to take care of each other. You can't just preach like that. The preaching is by example mostly. Because ultimately one should only preach to a disciple, someone who can accept. What is the use to preach someone who will not accept? So ultimately preaching is what we do. And if you give a lot of love and a lot of support, then naturally that person will come to the realization. But if you just come and you say, ooh, you admire, you should understand Krishna did this to you. You know? You know, Prabhupada speaks about variety and agreement. Variety means differences and to agree. In the material world, you cannot have variety and agreement. It's not possible. Because everyone has a different goal. So when there's variety, the difference is impeding my enjoyment. But in the spiritual world, you can have variety and agreement. In the material world, it's variety and disagreement. Why? Because the goal is Krishna. So I understand that I don't like you because you are different from me. And in the material world, if you're different, means you're impeding my sense enjoyment. But because I know you created by Krishna, I like you. I like your qualities because Krishna is manifesting through you in a different way. And that's why Prabhupada was so successful, because he could actually take everyone's energy and use it in Krishna's service. How did he develop ISKCON in so little years? Because he empowered people. He allowed them to use their energy. He put guidelines and then he gave some allowance that based on your energy, based on your qualities, you go and you do something for Krishna. So this is the compassion that we have to understand, that Krishna people are different and they're all manifested by Krishna. It's all different Krishna's qualities. And we have, and more you love Krishna, more you're going to love them because you'll see Krishna in everything. But just to come back to your question, you have to be compassionate. Because you see, if something doesn't work, why push? I mean, if you're preaching to someone, it doesn't work. Like a lot of people outside, they don't want to come to Krishna consciousness, but they like devotees. Like in America, you go to shopping center, they see the kids, they love the kids. So let them just love the kids. They don't have to chant, just love the kids. Because gradually by loving the kids, then the Krishna is seeing that they're loving my devotees, then they'll make advancement. We are here after many lifetimes. I think every 4 billion years you take a human life, every life of Brahma or something, you know. So we've been here for a long time. So for us to come to that stage took time. You don't know which stage they're at. So we have to cultivate them based on them. So you cannot preach to people if they're not going to take it. So you have to do it in another way, by kindness and compassion. Does it make sense? Anything else? Thank you. I'll go to Prabhupada.